Well, good morning, real life. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. All right. You guys are still waking up. I get it. It's okay. Well, welcome to Real Life. Thanks for being here this morning. I know there are a lot of other things that draw our attention outside of Sunday mornings, like the beautiful weather we've been experiencing, the lake, and all the fun stuff that we could do. But you guys are committed. You're being here and hearing more about God's Word. So we're in the middle, or actually towards the end of the I Am series that we have been walking through together as a church. And over the last few weeks, we've talked about this statement that Jesus made that was just unheard of, where he began to say, I am, and he would go, the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am what we're going to talk about today, the way, the truth, and the life. So we got to hear from Bill. We got to hear from Craig. We've got to hear from Gabe. And really, if you guys have missed any of those, I would encourage you to go back on our website. You can find it. You can rewatch them, watch them for the first time, but just want to encourage you to do that. And so today we're going to land in John 14. We're going to focus on the first six scriptures. However, I think it's worth mentioning that the entire book or the entire chapter of John is something that I would encourage all of us to do, is to push through and read that chapter. It really speaks to God's identity, Jesus's identity as part of the triune God. It brings in the Holy Spirit, brings in God the Father, Jesus as the Son. But then Jesus makes this statement that I am. So he is equating himself because he is God. Now, a little bit of context. We got to go back to 13. 13, Jesus is with his disciples. They're in the upper room. They're getting ready to celebrate communion, Passover meal. And in the midst of that, Jesus calls out one of his disciples named Judas, says that he's going to betray him. Not only that, but Peter, who's always outspoken, kind of looks and goes, Lord, I'll never do that. You guys know Peter. Peter's just kind of one of those guys who says it how he feels it. And then what happened? Jesus looks at Peter and goes, hey, even you are going to deny me basically by tomorrow morning. So the disciples are sitting there. They're understanding that after 3 years with their Lord and Savior, all of a sudden he's talking talk like he's going to die. He's given them bread that represents his body and blood. And they're kind of disheveled. They're watching Peter and Judas kind of get called out on a few things. And so we pick up in 14 verse 1, and Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And I think he's saying that to us as believers today. It's really easy to take a look around culture and see there are some troubling things, would you agree, that are going on in our culture today? So I think he's speaking to us today and saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. He goes on to say, trust in God and trust also in me. Switches gears and says, there's more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come to get you, and you will always be with me where I am. And you will know the way of where I'm going. Now, enter Thomas. Thomas has a bad rap. You guys know who I'm talking about? Thomas. We usually refer to him now as Doubting Thomas. I think he's Honest Thomas. I really believe, because what he's about to say is he's going, no, Lord, we don't know where you're going. I think the rest of the disciples were still kind of silent, going, all right, we're going to let Thomas take this one. And Thomas is like, we don't know where you're going. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus responds in verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. Here's what I know about our culture. Our culture today is looking for three different things. I think our culture is looking for some direction. I think they're looking for something that is real. and something that will last forever. And Jesus, in this one verse, answered all of those questions with this statement, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Notice that Jesus did not just say he is a way, but Jesus said, I am the way. It's not pointing to something else as the way. He is saying he is the way. As I was preparing for this message this week, I was reminded of a time when I was traveling. I was in Dubai and South Africa, and I spent about 21 days in country. But towards the end of the trip, we had to leave South Africa, return to Dubai, and then back to Spokane. And I got to Dubai, and I was sick. I was tired. I was missing my family. I won't even tell you how I smelled, but it was not pleasant. So, standing there in the airport, trying to figure out which gate do I need to go to catch the plane back to Spokane. Dubai at the time was the largest airport in the world. I don't know if they still are or not. There's a lot of gates to choose from. And I had to find the one that would get me home. So imagine if you bumped into me and you saw me there looking disheveled, smelling and sick. And you saw me and said, hey, Wayne, what's going on? Can I help you? And I go, yes, I need your help. Nobody speaks English around here, very few, but now you can help me. I'm looking for the gate that's going to get me home. Now, I'm not saying any of you would do this, but say you said, hey, man, it's really simple. Pick a gate. It'll get you home. So in the short moment, I'm going to be relieved. I'm going to go, are you serious? This is great. I can choose any of these gates and it's actually going to get me home. You're like, yeah, that's all you got to do. Pick a gate. So imagine if I pick the gate that's not getting me home. I pick the gate, I'm on the plane, and when I get off the plane, I realize I'm not at the Spokane airport, but I'm in some war-torn country that could cause harm to me, that I could lose my life in. First, I would say, you weren't very loving because you pointed me somewhere that I shouldn't have gone. But secondly, I would really figure out who loves me and find out what plane I need to get on so I can get out of there. But imagine this. Imagine if you told me, you know what, Wayne? Not all of these gates is going to get you to where you need to go. And you spent time enough to go, here's what you need to do. You need to go to B12. B12 will get you home. And imagine if my response was, what do you mean B12? How do you know B12 is the only way for me to get home? What is B12 like your favorite vitamin? So you just threw that out there? But if you loved me enough to tell me the direction I needed to go, and I chose not to, I chose to believe that you weren't being honest with me, and I told you there were many different ways that I could go, would you not stop and go, Wayne, I'm trying to speak truth to you. I'm trying to give you the way that is going to get you to the destination that you need to go to. But the world tells us there's many ways. The world tells us that there's all kinds of different ways for you to experience not only life, but eternal life. And you can choose any direction that you want. You could choose any religion you want. Because a lot of religions, people say, well, hey, they speak the same kind of language. You know, the golden rule, and I can do good if I just follow this or if I just do that. And so the world says there's many ways to get to heaven. Go ahead and choose. Or they'll say stuff like, you know what, as long as you're a good person, just live life by some good rules. Just follow those rules and you're going to be okay. You'll make it to eternity in heaven. Growing up, I remember my mom would tell me when she was growing up that the rules at the church she was at was, well, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls who do. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that. It's supposed to be funny. But literally, that's how she learned. That's what she learned in the church she was growing up. Just be good. Just be good. Don't smoke. Don't chew. Don't be the girl who do. I don't know how that would work for her, but don't do those things. And you know what? You'll be okay. Just be a good person. You'll get there one day. So between the world giving us many directions, between different religions telling us it's this way or that way, here's what I know. When people walk alongside and they give direction, if it doesn't line up with the truth of God's word, we have a problem. And God's word in Proverbs 14 says, there is a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to death. Just like if I picked any of those gates to get me on a plane, it could get me to death because I needed the right gate with the right plane to get me to where I needed to go. The Bible says there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death. The world would say you have an open road. Just stay on the road. It could be a huge freeway. But God's word says something completely different. In Matthew 7, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In this verse, in verse 6, Jesus didn't just tell his disciples about a way. He didn't give them options or show them the way. He didn't even guide them along the way. He simply said, I am the way. So what does that statement mean? I am the way. He's saying, I am Yahweh. I am the God of the Bible. I am the one who holds life. I am who controls death and eternity. He was saying he was God and he knows the way because he created the way. So how can we know the way? How can we know the way? It's only through Jesus. It's not our efforts. It's not what somebody else says, but it's to focus on who Jesus says he is and accept him and confess him as Lord and Savior. We are on the way. Now, this doesn't hit well for everybody in our culture. A lot of people will say, it sounds too limited. There should be many options. Well, when they should be saying, thank God he created a way for us in the first place through his son, Jesus Christ. And listen, God is always there. When we deviate from the way, God is always there. His spirit is always going, I am here. I want you to come back. Follow me. But we have a choice in that to either walk in obedience towards that or decide that we're going to create our own way and still get to where we need to be. So remember, we talked about people are searching for direction, but people are also searching for something real. People are searching for the truth. And Jesus just isn't a version of the truth. He is the truth. He is that aligns with reality. Jesus is saying in this scripture that he is the truth. The I am is the truth. People do not like to hear the truth. How many have kids? How fun is it when you're trying to explain to your children the truth of something and they go, but that's not the truth. Or you explain something and they go, why? I love my daughters, and when they were small, that was their favorite word. Why? Try to rationalize with a 5 or 6-year-old about why something is true. Because in their world, what they experience is the truth, is the reality of what their truth is. Truth, through Webster's dictionary, is defined as a body of real things, events, or facts. It's actual. The second piece is a state of being, like a fact. So here's what I'd like you to do. Are you guys okay to participate with me this morning? Because you seem like we need to raise the like level of lights in here and get everybody awake. It's really dark and it's really quiet. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. It's a couple simple things. Everybody should have a pointer finger. Grab your pointer finger. Take a look at it. Yours looks different than your neighbor's. It's okay. Hold your pointer finger out. And then I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to trust me. We're in church. We can trust one another. I'll watch your purse, ladies. Go ahead and close your eyes with your pointer finger out. Once everybody's eyes are closed and pointer fingers are up, I'm going to ask you to do something else. I want you to point to north. Go ahead and point north. Whatever direction you think north is, I want you to bring the truth of where north is. We're up in North Idaho, so you're already kind of in north, but all right, open your eyes. No, leave your fingers up. Don't try to escape out on this. All right, we got a good majority saying north this way. We got a couple of you who are really confused. You're just pointing straight up. And we have a few of you pointing down to like Mexico. But that's okay. The point is that's the reality, is we all think that we know the truth, but do we realize that there's an actual true north? So even in this building, for those of you who said north is here, true north is actually, from this point on the stage, is actually the corner of that window. That is true north. But how many times in life do we go around with our truth, and I'll even call it that little t truth, that we've accepted because of something that we've experienced? We accept our little t truth as big T truth. True north. True is true. And true, and the truth is Jesus. Thanks for participating for that. I know that's like it exposes you to your lack of direction. And then sometimes you have to look at your spouse and go, you're right again. You're always right when it comes to directions. I understand that. I actually asked my wife not to be here this morning because her and I would argue about what direction truly is, but she had to work. So the point being in all this is people have learned to accept their own truths. And some of those truths is they just go, the truth is there's no absolute truth. That's my truth, is there's no absolute truth. So the new definition of truth is more about what my experience dictates and what I choose to believe is true. That's the new truth. You guys have maybe seen the news, maybe read articles here or there in the last, 3 to 4 years. Truth is changing rapidly. Truth as we know it 5 years ago is not the truth that our culture says is today. And so we need to understand that when Jesus says that I am the way and I am the truth, that he is leading us to a path of righteousness. Here's what I would say. Jesus is actually a personification of truth. He is the person of truth. That's what he's saying. There's nothing else that could take that truth away because he is true, because he is God, and God is who establishes what truth is. And here's the reality. If I looked at you this morning and I said, I have been studying birds. And not only have I been studying their wing patterns and how they perch themselves, but I've studied it so well that I'm actually going to jump off the Coeur d'Alene Resort building downtown. Because I believe my truth is that after watching and experiencing what they do, that I could actually fly like a bird. I hope somebody in this place would go, hey, Wayne, I love you enough and I care about you enough to tell you that your truth is going to end badly. Like you're either going to be severely hurt and maimed, or you're no longer going to exist in this world because you're believing a version of truth that is little t truth and it is not the reality of what truth is. I would hope and pray that somebody would go, hey, let me help you out. You can't fly. So if I love you and I care for you, the kindest thing that I can do for you is to tell you that your little t truth is not truth. And here's the deal. Sometimes when we are in relationship with people and we have opportunity to speak into their lives and we start talking about things that really matter in life, like sin and tolerance and truth, sometimes we have to expose ourselves to the fact that somebody may not like the message that we're giving them. They actually may hate you for it. They actually may come alongside and go, you know what? I don't even want to be in relationship with you because you're telling me something that goes completely against what I've experienced. But can I tell you it's worth the risk? Can I tell you that somebody walked alongside of you at some point in your life and exposed you to the truth of who Jesus is? And maybe you hadn't formed your little t truths yet, but maybe you had, and you had to wrestle with your little t truth versus the truth of what God says, and then you had to come to a decision to make to surrender a truth so that you could experience all that Jesus has for you. John 1:1-3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." This verse alone, there are different religions that take the big G God and they reduce it to a small G God because they don't believe that Jesus and the Father were one. So they lowercase the G. But the reality of what Jesus is saying here, the truth of what Jesus is saying here, is the same statement when he says, "I am." He is saying right here through his scripture that he was with God and was God, and he's been with them since the beginning. Speaking of Jesus' deity, it is the truth of God's word, the truth that we need to hear today. And the reality is our culture, our friends that may not be involved in Christianity, may have something against it, they all are looking for something true. They're not looking for something phony. They're not looking for something made up. They're not looking for a fad. They're not looking for a movement or a whim. They want to experience the truth. And as disciples of Jesus, we have the opportunity to let them experience truth, the truth in Jesus. And God wants us to be in relationship with people so that we can speak truth. Here's what I do not want you to do. I do not want you to go to work tomorrow with a coworker that you have a grudge with or that you don't get along with, you're not really in relationship with, and start speaking the truth. Because you haven't earned the right to speak the truth in their life. We speak truth out of relationship that we have. That's why it's so important that every week when we meet together and we're doing communion, we start talking about the lost and the hurting, those that we're in relationship with, so that we have the opportunity to speak truth. If not, we become like the old time Bible thumpers. You got to turn or burn. You got to do this. You got to do that. And we create distance. So that's what I'm not asking you to do. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to, the relationships that you have, be able to speak truth. The flip side of that is if God tells you to speak truth to somebody you don't know, be obedient to what Jesus is calling you to do. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to move on a little bit. For us to experience truth, we have to surrender our hearts to Jesus. We have to make him Lord and Savior. Okay? And here's what I love. I love this, the story of the disciples in the boat. The disciples, a lot of them were fishermen. And they're in the boat and the storm comes. You guys have all heard this story. The storm comes, the wind and the waves, and they are freaking out because what they're experiencing, they're going, "This is not good. We know bad weather. We know what this could end up like." The truth of their situation is without Jesus' interaction, they could have been killed. But here is the good news, guys. The good news is that truth was sleeping in the back of the boat. And when the truth woke up and spoke to the storm, they experienced a whole new reality. They went from little t truth thinking they were going to die to like, we just experienced something we've never seen before because he controls the waves and the wind. That is good news because the reality is this: no matter if Jesus is in the back of our boat, he's in front of our boat, or we put him outside the boat, he is still true. He is true then, he is true now, and he'll continue to be true in our lives, but we have to recognize the truth of who Jesus is as we walk that out in relationship. Somebody say amen, because if not, I got to cash all this in. All right. So they had the truth with them. We have the truth with us. But here's what I also know. The situation they were in was bad as disciples. And there are situations that we've experienced that aren't good, that aren't pleasant, that are hard. I think God wants to remind us he's still with us. I think he wants to remind us that no matter what we're going through, no matter what truth, little t truth we've accepted or not, that he is there. And he wants you to experience the truth of his son Jesus so that we can experience life and life to the fullest. John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples. Now I want you to take the 12 out of your mind for a minute because he was praying for them, but he's also praying for us as disciples of him today. And Jesus says, "My prayer is not that you will take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it, but sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth." So how do we get to experience Jesus, the Christ, as the truth? by being in his word, by spending time abiding with him on a daily basis so that we can experience the fullness of life. I said before, the last thing that people are looking for is something that will last forever. The life. Jesus didn't offer secrets to life. He said, I am the life. He didn't have a good idea about what life was. He didn't point you in a direction of what life was. He didn't have a secret to it. He said, experience life in me. The reality is we live in a place that is captivated by trying to avoid death. We are captivated by trying to stay young and handsome and fit and beautiful and these different things. And we take all kinds of measures to do that. Hey-o. It's all right. Pick it up. You're good. Can I just let you guys in on a little secret? Ecclesiastes tells us that there's a time to live and there's a time to die. And the reality is we can choose to live in the fullness that God offers. We could choose not to. And we could place our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and experience eternal life with the God of the universe. Or we can choose to ignore it and be completely removed from him for all of eternity. This is where it gets heavy. I know. It gets heavy because we have to make a decision in life to follow him or to move on. We all want life to never end. How many have experienced vacation this summer so far? Vacation? How many of you, when you were on vacation, looked over and said, I hope this never ends. Can't we just call in sick for the rest of the year, right? We don't want good things to end. We want to experience all that we have in front of us. And in John 10:10, Jesus is speaking. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and life to the full and have it to the full. Jesus doesn't want you just to experience eternal life. He wants to walk through life with you here. This little, I think someone told me earlier, there's a semicolon. Can you put that screen that back on the screen, John 10:10? The little semicolon, you guys, hopefully somebody's better at English than I am. Steal, kill, and destroy. That little semicolon, is that what it's called? Okay, so when I was little and I was in English, which I didn't do well at, I just told you, my teacher said, when you see that, it's like saying, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But then she said, you can just fill that little semicolon in with but. So I learned this scripture young, and it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So here's what I'm going to tell you, and I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud. Stay on the right side of the butt. Don't be on the wrong side of the butt. Be on the right side of the butt, because that's where Jesus is saying, I have come that you can have life and life to the full, but we've got to stay on the right side of that. Because the enemy, reality is, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, what we read here in 14:6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the enemy says, I want to kill that. I want to destroy that. But that's not what Jesus says. So life starts with Jesus. And understand that what he didn't promise was like tranquility and peace in this life and joy. But he did say that I'm going to be with you in this life, whatever you experience. Whatever that looks like. Romans 8:6-7, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Talks about the mind is actually governed by the flesh, is hostile to God. Guys, I want to tell you something, that sin is not just a bad idea. Sin will kill you. Sin will kill you emotionally. It'll kill you spiritually. And one day, if you continue in your sins, it can kill you physically. And see, Jesus isn't just saying, hey, I don't just want you not to sin, but I actually want you to experience life. I want you to actually choose righteousness. I want you to obey all that I have told you. God loves you. He's not trying to keep us from good. He's trying to call you into life by saying life is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. Just like our word truth has been hijacked to little t truth, there's a word called tolerance that's also been hijacked. Tolerance used to be that if you and I disagreed about something, we could still meet up for coffee. We still could have conversation. We could still be in relationship. But tolerance today has been redefined as like, if you don't accept me and my truths for the way that I am, then we can no longer be in relationship because you're just bigoted or you're just whatever, fill in the blank. We cannot allow sin, truth, and tolerance to be compromised. Sin is sin, regardless. Truth is only found in Jesus Christ. And tolerance says that I love you enough to call you out on where you're wrong. That is why the message of tolerance towards sin is so unloving. We're afraid that someone's going to get upset with what we say. And they'll say stuff like this: hey, your message of intolerance is actually causing me harm. Your message, because of how you are, because of your bigoted and you're a Christian and you're this, it's actually causing me harm. Listen, our tolerance isn't causing them harm. Sin is. I read an article just a couple weeks ago. It was talking about pornography and people who are addicted to pornography. And man, if you're in that moment, if you're addicted, listen, I've been through it. It is horrible. It's a horrible feeling to feel trapped. It's horrible to not experience life how Christ wanted us to. But in this article, they were saying that people who are addicted to pornography specifically have greater levels of stress, anxiety, and depression. And as I was reading this article online, they have a comment section at the bottom, and there was people that were for pornography and people that were against it, and there was a lot of back and forth bickering. There was one that stood out, and the guy was saying that basically the reason they experience depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts is not because of what they're experiencing with pornography, but it's about the hatred that everybody speaks about it. They're saying, listen, it's not our fault that we feel this way. It's actually your fault for telling us the truth. It's your fault for not being tolerant with who we are. It should just be accepted. So they were placing blame on others for the sin that's causing them harm. Listen, that breaks my heart and that breaks God's heart. Because the reality is this, guys. We just read the scripture. The enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And there were moments in my life, share a story with you, 14 years ago, I was not connected into a life group, 15 years ago, whatever it is now, was not connected to a life group. And when I would read passages about experience abundant life, and I would see other people, and I would see the joy that they had and the relationships they had within the church, I'll be honest, I was intimidated by that. Because the enemy had convinced me in my mind that I had been painted in a corner because of the sin that I had in my life, because of the doubt that would creep into my mind. And he would say things like, you know what? You'll never be accepted there. You'll never have an opportunity to experience life how Jesus wants because you've done too much wrong. You have sin in your life. You doubt. You don't even like people most of the time. I was paralyzed. I was so badly wanting to experience this new life that Jesus promises. And I was trying to do it on my own. And can I tell you, Jesus never meant for us to do this on our own. You can go all the way back to the garden. God was walking with Adam. They were in communion together. And the first dilemma we ever see in scripture is God's like, oh, it's not good for you to be alone. Wouldn't we go, man, if it's just me and God, we're good? I mean, that's what Adam thought. And God's like, well, wait a minute. It's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to create a helper for you. So when we talk about getting connected into life groups, when we talk about experiencing relationships with others, it's not just so we can have like this little kumbaya moment. We can all hang out and eat dinner together. It's an opportunity for us to grow. It's an opportunity for people to point us to the way that Jesus says is there. It's an opportunity to experience truth with people that love us, that are around us, that won't say, hey, I'm not going to deal with what's going on, but let's lean into that. Why do you believe that way? How can we do this together so that we can experience life and life to the full? So back to John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. In these words, Jesus was like literally declaring himself as the only path to heaven. Can't just choose a gate, guys. There's one gate. There's one path. There's one Lord and Savior. The source of both physical and spiritual life is Jesus. He's the very God of creation. He's the God of Abraham. He's the Holy One. He's righteous. He inhabits the praise of his people. He's created eternity for you and for me, and also for those other people who are still rejecting the truth. Here's the reality is we knew that after this conversation that he had with his disciples, the disciples were going to face some dark days ahead. Just like potentially we are. We're going to experience loss. We're going to experience pain, discomfort. The world is changing rapidly. But just like Jesus was there in the boat, he is there for us today. As we close, I'm going to ask a few questions. So how do we follow him today? Same way the disciples did. They heard the word of Jesus. They believed. They took his words. They obeyed. They confessed their sins to Jesus. They believe he died and took the punishment that we deserved, and that he rose from the grave. He displayed power over life and death. That's how we follow him today. He is the only truth. He's the only way. He's the only source of life. There's no other. So my question to you today is, have you chosen to follow him? Have you chosen in your heart to say, Lord, I'm going to follow the way that you've set for me? Maybe you're sitting here today and you've accepted some little T's as truth. Maybe you've changed your tolerance and like, God won't really be upset if I do this. He'll still love me. You're right. He'll still love you, but it's not the design that he has for you to walk in righteousness. So maybe for you today, it's I need to follow him. Maybe for you today, it's I need to surrender the truths that I've been believing and allow his truth to prevail in my life. Or maybe you're going, man, I want to experience life to the life in the full. I want to experience eternity with Jesus. That starts today by declaring him as Lord and Savior, by accepting his word as truth, by experiencing the life that he has for each and every one of us. Let me pray for you today. We're going to have in just a few minutes people up here to pray. If you want to come up and respond, we'd love to pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the audacious statement that he made is he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can experience the Father except through him. Lord, we surrender our own agendas, we surrender our own truths that we've accepted. And God, we want you to speak truth to us. We want to experience life and life to the full. God, will you help us believe? Help us with our unbelief. God, thank you for the mission that you have each and every one of us on to reach this world for you, one person at a time. I pray that as we enter into conversations, that you would give us the opportunity to ever so quietly speak the truth of your word. Lord, we give you praise and glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.